Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast. We are going to be reviewing some of Gary Brecka's health content.
Yeah, Gary Brecka, just like a lot of people, know the basics. Get outside, eat good food, move your body and exercise. But when people who don't know science try to say sciencey things like your thyroid methylates T4 into T3, not a good look. So we're going to look at some posts on Twitter, or formerly Twitter, now known as X, and take a look at some of the studies he posted and whether the studies say or support what he's claiming. So this will be fun. A lot of people ask us about things Gary Brecka says because he does say some reasonable basic things.
Yeah, I loved his podcast or podcasts with Joe Rogan and other people. I am a curious individual, and I love it when I hear people emphasize lifestyle things like diet and exercise, whole foods, avoid toxins in your food and in your environment. That stuff is fantastic. And you can find a lot of gems in what they pull up. And yes, it's good for scientists to science and physicians to practice and practitioners to practice. But I think that it's good that we've kind of got away from the credentials. You know, you don't have to have a master's degree or a doctorate in order to have good ideas. Our friend Derek, More Plates, More Dates, Derek, is a great example of this, where he's really able to pull up some gym studies. So let's see what studies Gary has pulled up.
Our first one here, this is from less than a month ago. Touch lowers cortisol, the stress hormone, reduces heart rate, and balances blood pressure.
Balances. So if it's too low, it goes up. And if it's too high, it goes down.
It's sort of like balancing hormones, I suppose.
Yeah, let's pull up that PMID.
Let's pull up the study. One-year monitoring of core biomarker and digestive enzyme responses in transplanted zebra mussels.
I don't think this is the right
study.
You
have to touch the mussels? Touching the mussels. Ah, it's a hidden meaning. Touch works, but only if you have mussels.
Yeah, I don't think that's what this study says whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with touch.
Well, let's go back to the tweet. Let's see what the next one is.
Skin-to-skin contact releases oxytocin. Oh, oxytocin, we know about that from the Huberman Lab podcast. Great podcast. The bonding hormone, and it reduces anxiety, increases trust, improves emotional resilience. Skin-to-skin contact. Does it have to be skin-to-nipple?
Or no, let's see. Let's see the study design. An update on papillary microcarcinoma. So you have to touch the thyroid?
I think this is, maybe he had the PMIDs switched.
He's got a couple of these mixed up.
Let's see the future ones, and they must have been mixed up.
Another one on physical touch. Decreases inflammatory markers like interleukin-6 and C-reactive protein. Impacting chronic disease risk. This certainly sounds good.
I like that idea. Identification expression of small non-coding RNA. This has nothing to do with touch. It does say stress response. So maybe the LLM or something that he was using to help find these said it's growth and stress response. It's nothing to do with touch.
Well, let's check the last one in this tweet. There's one more, right? 2015, so he's got a year here. People who receive regular hugs get sick less often and recover faster when exposed to viruses.
Super interested in this study design. There it is. Does hugging provide stress buffering social support? A study of susceptibility to upper respiratory infection and illness. Wonderful.
Yeah. So actually, it looks like if you glance at the abstract, among infected participants, greater perceived support and more frequent hugs predicted less severe illness signs. The data suggests hugging may effectively convey social support.
Okay. Well, that looks pretty solid. Makes a lot of sense. That's why we've added social health as the seventh pillar of health, or used to be six. So this is pretty great.
So one out of four is not bad.
Yeah. Here's a new tweet. Diet Coke is the one input. Diet Coke, not regular Coke.
Someone asked for his opinion on Diet Coke. They said they eat no sugar, exercise every day, run 40 miles a week, sleep good, cold showers. But yeah, they're just asking his opinion about Diet Coke.
Sounds like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Runs 40 miles a week and drinks Diet Coke. He thinks that
it's undoing it all.
These sweeteners are linked to gut damage, mood issues, formaldehyde formation. There are definitely some interesting studies on aspartame and Diet Coke. Let's pull up that PMID. That is not about Diet Coke.
It's about cheese.
Lactococcus lactis is a very interesting probiotic, but nothing to do with Diet Coke. Let's check the second one there, just to check his sources. Transient.
Yeah, so we've got phosphoric acid depletes minerals and weakens bones.
Phosphoric acid.
And we have a
transient hypogammaglobulinemia of infancy. That it has nothing to do with phosphoric acid.
Syndrome. Yeah.
You know, that's,
well, let's check another tweet.
Yeah. Tinnitus isn't just an ear issue. It's a nervous system and mitochondrial stress signal. Isn't everything a mitochondrial signal or stress signal in some way? Anyways, he said, focus on supporting your mitochondrial health with CoQ10, magnesium, and NAC to help reduce oxidative stress in the inner ear for tinnitus. So let's check that study.
Cognitive effects of cell phones, a possible role of non-radio frequency radiation factors.
This is definitely a resource that he meant for a different post.
This is kind of funny because talking about ringing in the ears and phones ring. I think Gary is just trolling this guy.
Yeah, Gary, or maybe the LLM that he's using, or maybe this. I could see him using this as a source for a different post.
That would actually be funny if the LLM realized what the content was being used for and decided, oh, I'm going to put like some
hidden this
humor
person
in here.
Yeah. Just like malicious compliance for an employee, except it's your AI employee.
Yeah. This is fixed nutrient gaps. Low zinc and B12 are common in tinnitus cases.
Okay. There's definitely studies on B12 and tinnitus. Scattering of dipole mode vector solutions, theory, and experiment.
Cameron, look up, what is a soliton?
I don't know.
What's a soliton? Solitons.
Not solution. Soliton.
It sounds French. Soliton or Italian.
Does this
maybe
have to do with tinnitus? It could just be tinnitus in Italian.
It's a quantum quasi-particle traveling in a non-dissipated wave. That's what tinnitus is?
To be fair, it could affect tinnitus if you had some of those in your ear. Let's check the next tweet.
Oh. It amazes me how much this looks like a ChatGPT answer.
Yeah.
If you look at the one we were just on.
Maybe he got hacked by ChatGPT.
Could be. It's like, here's what I'd focus on. And then it gives you a list just like ChatGPT would.
Yeah. Didn't even edit it. They need one AI to edit what the other AI is producing for their content. 10 minutes of red light therapy increases ATP, reduces morning brain fog, boost mitochondrial function. Everything just boosts your mitochondria. Calms inflammation. Don't just wake up. Activate. Study. PMID. Link.
Limited sterile processing capabilities for safe surgery in low-income and middle-income countries experienced in the Republic of Congo, Madagascar.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Far in Benin.
So they use red light therapy instead of
autoclave? In countries like that, they don't just wake up. They activate.
Yeah.
Oh, what do we have here? And let's go down to
the question.
Can we talk about blood pressure and what we can do to lower it?
So methylation.
Gary copies that,
for sure.
Pastes it into ChatGPT.
Yep.
And the answer is absolutely. Here's where I'd start. Isn't a medication deficiency. It's usually a result of inflammation, mineral imbalance, or poor methylation.
ChatGPT, please write a post in the tone of Gary Brecka and give me a 5-point with references. Doesn't have to be correct reference. See, it's any all references. About the prompt for ChatGPT.
It's like
or
when you
AI.
Wish, you know, you ask a genie for something, you have yes. to be very specific with your wish.
Please
like,
give me correct references.
I wanted
references.
Real references.
Yes.
They are real references. They're just not correct.
He's copying Reddit. Lowering homocysteine, not bad, but wrong reference there.
What did it say? Spike
Go
something?
Back. What
Spike
was the...
protein? Spike frequency.
Spike frequency surgical outcomes in TLE with unilateral hippocampal atrophy. Interesting. Maybe that has to do with B12 and deficiency and high homocysteine as well. Well, let's go to the next post because that was the only reference for that one.
Blue light after sunset.
Suppresses melatonin by over 85%. Well, let's see the reference for that.
Yeah.
The effect.
He meant,
of,
oh, no.
Yeah, that's...
He meant to put this one on his hydrogen water post.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, what does it do? Does it actually help the rat's brain?
Go down.
It improved the number of surviving cells.
Okay, interesting. Not related to blue blocking.
Yeah, and that's actually good advice, like not getting bright blue light in your mm-hmm. eyes after sunset. Like you don't have to make up a percentage, make up a study. Just say, hey, it's probably not a good idea to get a bunch of bright blue light in your eyes after sunset.
Yeah.
You don't have to have AI tell you that.
Yeah, it's one of the 10, 3, 2, 1.
I don't have to have AI tell me that.
Yeah, it's part of 10, 3, 2, 1, 0 for sleep hygiene. I thought you were going to say, that's actually good advice. If your rat has a cerebral infarct, do an intraperitoneal hydrogen-rich saline injection.
Yeah, I think they put it right on the brain, actually.
Huh.
No, you're right. It was intraperitoneal.
Let's go to the next tweet. The question is, what if you live in a godforsaken land up north where the sun doesn't shine? Is that Canada? Plus, you work during light hours. Oof. So... believe it or not, sunlight still works even through clouds. Great advice. Good so far. On a completely overcast day, you're still getting up to 80% of the sun's UV and blue light exposure. Let's see the ChatGPT reference there.
Neurobiology of attentional effort.
This sounds more like a Jocko or a Huberman link. Nothing to do with the tweet. So let's keep going. And here's what he or ChatGPT, whoever wrote this, would recommend. Blah, blah, blah. Red light therapy should help mitochondrial health and circadian stability. Red
hormone
and
function
near infrared.
And cognitive performance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hormone function. Check out that
PMID. Let's go
PMID
ahead and pull up that last one there.
Hormone
because that
function.
Is, that's a lot of positive outcomes.
Let's see if we need to expand our red light therapy that our clinic offers.
Yeah, and anyone can do this at home. You just go, look for a study someone cites, type in the PubMed ID, and see if it actually, oh, no. Higher U.S. rural mortality rates linked to socioeconomic status, physician shortages, and lack of health insurance.
Still a good study link, but not the correct one.
So this was, let's see, let's just count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 1 out of 12 is not bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is 1 out of 12 is better than 0 of 12. But this is what people like Lane Norton talk about. People that are talking heads that have a lot of good basic things to say that the majority of population can learn from, put a bunch of study links trying to make a claim about the non-basic things. For example, red light therapy helps hormone balance. And instead of an article about hormone balance, it pops up an article about physician shortages. So Gary Breck is obviously not a medical doctor or a practitioner, but it just goes to show that—
Maybe he thinks that a physician is like a telomere, and if it's shortened, then it's bad.
Yeah. definitely not a shortened physician, but in all seriousness, a PMID link or a study link, we post them when we talk about a study, and we also— talk about the study itself. You know, I've noticed a lot of people, they just screenshot the title page, not even the abstract, sometimes some of the abstract, but they'll screenshot the title page to support a claim. So that's kind of the next tier rather than just posting a PMID link.
Yeah. And sometimes it is easier to find if someone puts the title there. Unfortunately, you know, like Instagram doesn't allow hyperlinks. So mm-hmm. if someone posts the URL in their description, mm-hmm. it's not particularly helpful if you're on your phone. You can't go in and highlight it. Computer, I think you can. But with the phone, which is where most people are viewing the content, it does take a little bit of extra time.
Yeah.
You may have to
check us out on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even X. But extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So things like avoiding too much blue light or sunlight if you're trying to go to sleep, things like that are very reasonable. Eating whole foods, very reasonable. But red light therapy, near infrared, hydrogen water, those things are promising.
Wand that improves your water's cohesion. It's also a product that he sells, apparently. Mm-hmm. I've seen BioLane tweet about this quite a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, inevitably someone is just trying to maximize the amount of money they're taking in. And you can only make so much money telling mm-hmm. someone, eat healthy, exercise, go outside. You know, those things are very low cost.
Yeah. And long form podcasts, the discussion that we do, it doesn't do as well as a simple gotcha tweet. So, you know, people like to share this because it's different, but I think Lane is a good example of someone who actually backs the things that he says with evidence. Now, a lot of times he kind of skirts around the topics like hormone replacement therapy or peptides. And he says he's not against them, but he just knows that each person, their situation is different. Mm. Things like that are not something that can be very easily addressed where you say, this is good for everyone or this is bad for everyone. So again, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Yeah. And looking at this, anyone can go and sort of sleuth their favorite health influencers. I mean, that's how some academic fraud, I think, it may have been Harvard or another Ivy League school, you know, they found out that these papers were all just AI-generated nonsense. And somehow they made it into publication through peer review, et cetera. And a lot of these, you know, just citizen scientists, I guess you could call them, are mm-hmm. sleuthing through and saying, hey, you know, these are doctored images or this citation doesn't exist and people are finding this out. So if you do find a PubMed ID that doesn't match or a pattern of it like we saw here.
Or a reference that does not line up with the PubMed ID.
Yeah. Please share those things in the comments or message us or both because we'd love to take a look at those things. We think that scientific integrity is very important. Mm-hmm.
As always, a comment below with your nice thoughts or not as nice thoughts, but hopefully you've enjoyed this informational session about the importance of your scientific references. As always, thank you for your time and may God bless you with health and happiness.